Good morning, and welcome to the worship services of Grace United Methodist Church on this beautiful Sunday morning, the sixth Sunday of Easter. We welcome all who are joining us from all over the world as we broadcast to an empty sanctuary once again. We obviously will be doing this for a number of weeks as we prepare to bring everyone back, but know that you are here in spirit and know that we can see your faces smiling in your assigned seats where you normally sit during the week. So thank you for joining us. And we welcome all of our non-members who join us from all over the world as well. We celebrate with those of our congregation who are celebrating birthdays or anniversaries this week, especially David and Judy Copley, and those who celebrated birthdays last week and this week, Sean, Bill, Ralph, Amanda, Daryl, and John. Again, we wish you were here so we could sing happy birthday to you, but know that we're singing to you in our hearts and wish you the happiest of birthdays and anniversaries. If you're not receiving the daily emails from the pastor, you need to call the church office and make sure that you're on the email list. If you're unable to receive emails, just call the pastor and we'll make sure that we get those to you in one form or another. We have a number of opportunities this week for a fellowship, especially after our service this morning at 8:30. We'll be having a fellowship time at 10 o'clock. We invite you to turn to the bulletin that's available on the internet and the information that you need to log into that fellowship time and see other members of the congregation is in that bulletin. Also, we have a daily devotion that comes out, and the pastor is participating in a daily devotion at 3 o'clock based on a scripture that he sends out early in the morning. So you have a number of opportunities to participate in worship, even though you can't be here. We're striving to make sure that you stay connected as Methodists are supposed to do. We now invite you to prepare your hearts, your minds, and your spirits for worship.
Let us pray. Living and gracious God, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have brought us out to a spacious place where we are called to live as those redeemed. Empower us by your Spirit to keep your commandments, that we may show forth your love with gentle word and reverent deed to all your people. Amen.
Please join with me in singing our hymn number 152, I Sing the Almighty Power of God.
I sing the almighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to at God's command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord who fills the earth with food, who formed the creatures through the word and then proclaimed them good. Lord, wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the skies, there's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne. While all that borrows light from thee is ever in thy care. And everywhere that we can be, thou God art present there.
this time, we say a special word of welcome to worship to the children worshiping with us this day. We're glad that you've gathered wherever you are for worship with your family, and we praise God for you this day as we come together. We certainly miss seeing you here in the sanctuary and here around the church, but we're glad that you're able to worship with us from home. And today, what I want us to talk a little about is the ways that we experience God's presence, the ways we experience God as God. And a lot of times, some of the places that we experience God are outside in nature. We see the handiwork of God outside in the ways that spring is blooming all over the place, in the ways that the grass is green, the ways that there are beautiful landscapes and beautiful things all around us outside. We experience that throughout the year. And we also sometimes experience God and come to know God in human beings and other people as we interact with them, as we have relationship with them, as we learn from them. We come to see Christ and see God in other people. But both of those things, whether we're seeing and knowing God outside in nature, or whether we're seeing God in other people who are interacting with us and loving us and teaching us things, no matter how we come to experience God, both of those things are only possible because we have known and experienced God through Jesus Christ. And we know that Jesus died on a cross for us and was raised for us. And so we remember Jesus when we see crosses like this. We remember his work and life among us. And this cross was a gift from Duke Divinity School, actually, when I graduated from seminary. And it's a little glass cross, and you can kind of see through it. And I just really like it and thought I'd bring it and show it to you. But one of the way, the primary way, the way that we come to know God and the way that we have a relationship with God always is through Jesus Christ. And so because of Jesus, we can see God in creation and know who God is through creation. And because of Jesus, we see God in other people and we come to know God through other people. It's always because of Jesus. And so when we think about the ways that we know Jesus, the ways that we come to know God, we have to think about our relationship with Jesus first. It's important, it's primary that we root ourselves in that relationship, that we do the things we need to do, like reading scripture and praying, like doing worship, coming to this time where you're gathering at home, or once we get to come back together when you come to worship, when we gather and we sing. Coming to know Jesus through those ways that Jesus has told us we can know him helps us to see God everywhere that God is. And so we praise God this day for that chance and for that opportunity. And what I want you to do is I want you to is to do those things, to read scripture and to pray, especially right now, so that you can know Jesus more fully and see Jesus, see God in the world and in other people as well. And let us pray. Heavenly and almighty God, we praise you for Jesus, for the ways that he shows us you wherever we look. And we ask that you would help us to know him better. Amen. This morning, as we turn to God in prayer, as we prepare our hearts to go to God in prayer, I just want to remind you that if you have prayer concerns that you'd like to share, please email them to me at pastor@gracecolumbia.org, and I'll be happy to lift them to the church in prayer. We also, one of those daily emails that Sam mentioned that comes out is one that's devoted to prayer. It includes the prayer list. It includes the prayers from the previous Sunday. So this Sunday's prayers, the prayers that we've prayed on Sunday morning, will go out next week for your reflection, so you can be reminded of them and so that you can utilize them in your daily prayer as well. So if you'd like to be added to those lists, as Sam said, please contact the church office so we can be sure we've got your email address if you're not receiving them already. And so as we turn our hearts to God in prayer, I just lift those to you. We lift the prayers that are on each of our hearts, even if we're not speaking them aloud this day. And so at this time, let's turn our attention to prayer to God. Holy God, you have called us to follow in the ways of your risen Son and to care for those who are our companions, not only with words of comfort, but with acts of love, seeking to be true brothers and sisters of all. We offer our prayers on behalf of the church and the world. And so today we pray for all those who cannot leave their homes and apartments, especially this day for Ernestine, Violet, Ed, Peter, Flora, June, Marion, and all who are highly vulnerable to COVID-19. For all those suffering from other ailments for whom treatment is now more difficult and dangerous. For all those who are grieving. For Mikey, Kristen, and Andrew. For Ellen, Merritt, and Mark following Ellen's procedure this week. For Phil and Carolyn, Gwen, as Phil is experiencing some heart trouble at this time. For Bill and Vicky Matthews, Ernestine's youngest brother, who's currently in the hospital. For Donna Houston and her family in the death of her Aunt Marion this week. For David, a close friend of Teresa Douglas and her brother, especially for David's wife and family in their grief at his passing. For Nancy Donnie's son, Danny Donnie Clark, who passed away, we offer prayers for that whole family, but especially for Danny's wife and children. For Barbara's family and friends, as she passed away, she was a close friend of Donna Houston and the wife of a Methodist pastor. For Randy's family and friends, as he passed away, a former co-worker and friend of Larry Lott. For Paul and his family and the death of his daughter, Paul's a teacher at Chapin High School. For Brent, a teacher at Chapin High, whose father passed away. For Rita Pardue, for Patricia McCauley and her family. For Janice Seeley. For Kristen, John, Liam, Allie, and Parker, Kurt Van Gelder's daughter and her family. For Vivian, Betty Arant's great-granddaughter. For Harris, a friend of the Hazeldens who had triple bypass surgery 2 weeks ago. For Steve and Mary Lynn, as Steve passed away last week. For Cornell and Yolanda Stewart, and Bobby and Jane Wilkinson, friends of Carol Cranford. For Alice Trulux, friends caring for parents suffering from Alzheimer's. For Christy, Kelly, and Colleen, friends of Betsy Smoke. For Kay, Betsy's sister. For Karen, Jeremiah's sister. For Scott, a resident of the Aldersgate home in Orangeburg, recently diagnosed with leukemia. For Joy, a dear friend of Gloria Bowden, recently diagnosed with cancer. For Linda and Bill, as Linda recovers from surgery. For Kathy Jameson, for Billy Thompson, for Kathy Jennings and her co-workers in the NICU, for all healthcare workers, our veterans and VA staff, and for all the members of Grace and their families. Guide us in the path of discipleship, O Lord, so that as you have blessed us, we may be a blessing for others, bringing the promise of the kingdom near by our words and deeds. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and as he taught us, so now we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever.
Please join with us as we sing our hymn, number 397, I Need Thee Every Hour. Come quick.
I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Teach me.
Scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, verses 22 through 31. And this morning I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Hear these words. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, To an Unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor, he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And all of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Have you ever been so caught up in being right that you argued about something or got mad about something that wasn't actually important to you? And compromised the possibility of actually having a conversation about something that was actually important to you, right? So you enter a conversation and you realize, oh, this is kind of related to something that's really important to me, but you get mad about the one little thing and you argue about it so vehemently because you just have to prove your point that later on you don't have the opportunity to even share about the thing that was actually important to you. Has that ever happened to you? No? Just me? Okay. Well, maybe you can imagine it then. Just pretend. Just try to imagine that maybe that's ever happened to you. But Because it seems to me that this is happening a lot with us, that it happens a lot with us in general as Christians, as the church, and our witness in the world. It happens a lot in the world, but it seems to have had an effect on us as well in the church. We spend so much time thinking about and arguing about and staking out our claim that we forget what's actually important. We pick a side on an issue and we fight about that issue, but we forget about what's actually important, and we miss all sorts of opportunities to witness to our faith because we've staked out our claim on the issues and we've forgotten what was important at the heart of all of it. And so we just argue back and forth. We argue with people outside the church. We argue with people inside the church. And so then the opportunity for any kind of witness is gone. I mean, the world is having these arguments right now over the ways that we respond to COVID-19, to wear a mask or not to wear a mask, to shelter in place, not to shelter in place. Are we going too fast? Are we going too slow? Is the economy more important, or is it more important to focus on continuing to flatten the curve? We're arguing about all of these things, and those arguments bleed over into the church as well as we consider and begin to think about coming back to in-person worship. I'm sure that we'll be having some of those same discussions that will bleed over into our conversations about what we're going to do as we make a plan to come back into the worship space, that we'll begin to get pushback around these very same issues. And we'll argue and people will get mad, and we'll forget that the important thing is that we worship the one true God, the God who reveals God's self to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. We'll have to hold on to that in the midst of our discussions and conversations so that we can have patience with one another, so that we can have grace, so that we can do what we have to do to worship together in a new way in this time. You see, sometimes we miss the opportunities that God gives us because we feel the need to point out what everyone else is doing wrong before we go forward. And that just puts everybody off so that they won't engage with us anymore. And other times we get so overwhelmed by all of the opportunities, we'll call them, for mission and ministry, that is, all of the things we think everybody else is doing wrong, we get so overwhelmed by all of those things, and we just can't figure out where to begin, so we don't. We just freeze. We don't do anything. So either we go overboard on pointing out what everybody else is doing wrong, and we put them off from even joining us at all, or we get so overwhelmed by all of it that we don't do anything and we don't tell anybody anything anyway. We just freeze and do nothing. Somehow we've gotten caught between these two extremes, these polar opposite ways of engaging with the world, and it just feels stuck, but it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. Paul, in this passage from Acts, shows us a different way. In fact, this passage that Sam just read for us, Paul shows us a different way. And we got to know that right before this passage that represents Paul's speech before the Athenians, his preaching, his sermon to the Athenians, he's come to Athens. He's been run out of all other places. He's come to Athens to wait on some folks that were coming after him. Not the ones chasing him to try and arrest him, but his disciple companions that are coming to join him again in mission. And he's in Athens by himself. And as he's walking around Athens, we hear that Paul has been there a few days, and he keeps seeing all of the idols. He keeps seeing all of the idolatry that the Athenians engage in. And he's gotten more and more disturbed by it over those days, more and more upset about it over those days. And we hear that he's been engaging in arguments and discussions in the synagogues and on the street corners about it with very little success. He's been out there arguing with folks, pointing out, hey, this idolatry thing is bad. He's been trying to tell them, no, this is the wrong way. He's been pointing out everything they're doing wrong out there in the synagogue and on the street corners, trying to get the message about Jesus across, but it hadn't been working. Nothing's been going. He's just been making people mad. And the only thing, the only piece of success that it does get him is it gets him an invitation to some further discussion in the Areopagus. And there's a little bit of debate about whether or not this was some kind of a philosophical trial of sorts. Like, hey, we're gonna come, you've been making these claims, but now we're gonna put it to rest. You're either gonna be upheld as, oh yeah, you can keep talking, or not. It was, so there's a possibility it was that, or it could have just been an opportunity to present a new idea that may have stuck or may not have. But anyway, it gets him this invitation to the Areopagus, and Paul recognizes the opportunity. In this moment, he realizes none of this other stuff that I've been doing on the street corners and the synagogues has worked. When I've been yelling at people out there to stop worshiping idols, when I've been going to the synagogues to find out why they haven't been pushing back against this, to tell them about Jesus, none of that has worked the way I've been doing it. He realizes that his previous methods haven't been working. His previous methods for telling about the good news of Jesus Christ haven't been working. They hadn't been working on the Athenians. What he had been doing wasn't working, and so he changes tact. He changes his method. He changes what he's been doing. He changes his way of spreading the good news. He changes his approach. Instead of opening in his opportunity in the Areopagus to preach and to tell them about this new way to see God, instead of opening with, you worship idols, God says that's bad, so you're all bad. That's kind of what he'd been doing before. Instead of opening with that once again, he opens by finding common ground with the Athenians. He changes his method. He highlights that their quest for the divine is admirable, that it's worth fuller and further exploration, that their quest to know the divine is worthwhile. And then after he's found this common ground, after he's begun by acknowledging something in them that was worthwhile, that was good, then he explains to them where they speak of the unknown God. The pedestal he'd seen with no idol on it that said to the unknown God, where they speak of the unknown God. The God that serves as a catch-all, just in case they have the whole pantheon thing wrong, kind of a spot. This is their God that is a backup plan. This is the unknown God, just in case all these other ones were the wrong one. He says, where you speak of the unknown God, Paul says, I have experienced God as fully knowable. He says, you talk about the unknown God, but I know that God as knowable fully. God, he goes through, is knowable in creation. He points out all the ways that we see God's handiwork in creation, the God that has revealed God's self to us through the creation that God calls good. Paul begins to point these things out to us. Now, sometimes we hear that in the world these days, not just in the world. Sometimes I even hear it in the church that people will say, well, I know God through creation, and so I don't really need church. I don't really need all that Jesus stuff. I come to know God outside. A lot of times, a lot of times it's golfers or fishermen, right? I know God in creation, and so instead of coming to church on Sunday morning, I'm going to go to the golf course, or I'm going to go to the lake, and I'm going to fish, or I'm just going to go to the beach, whatever it is, right? I hear it a lot. I'm sure y'all hear it a lot. Maybe you've even said it once or twice, right? We've got this perspective that God is knowable in creation. We all kind of feel that even still, and Paul highlights it with the Athenians, that God is knowable in the creation, that God's fingerprints are evident out there in the world, and God says, that's we know this. You and I hold this in common. He's finding that common ground still. He's still holding on to that common ground he has with the Athenians. He says, look, yeah, God's all around. Divinity, we can see in creation. But he doesn't stop there. He pushes. He says, this God that you say is unknown, I've known that God in creation. I've also known that God in humanity, that God creates us to be God's very children. through the restored image of God in us. Paul says, but he's tapping into a notion that the Athenians had, that the divine rested within each and every one, that there was a piece of the divine spark. The way this gets translated nowadays is it's pretty common too, and maybe you've heard it as well, is that God is just humanity's full potential given expression. That somehow God is just us being our best selves. That we somehow represent all there is about the divine. That was kind of a common thing even for the Athenians back in Paul's day, to think around those lines. But Paul isn't satisfied with that either. He's not satisfied with saying God is fully knowable in each and every human being. God is knowable in human beings where the divine image has been restored, but God is not fully knowable in our humanity when we just manage to get it all right. That's not God. Just like it's not all that God is represented in creation where we can see God's handiwork, but the handiwork is not God. We don't want to mix up the creator and the creation. Paul says, you're right. You're looking in the right places. You're seeing the evidence for the God who is knowable, where you've wondered whether he was unknown or not. You're seeing the evidence that God is knowable. You're right, but you don't have it all right. Instead, what Paul pushes then for, he's walking them through. He says, God is knowable in creation. God is knowable in humanity, but God is ultimately fully knowable in the person and work of Jesus Christ, who has been raised to new life and raises those who believe in him. That's how we know God, Paul says. This is his ultimate point. This is the place where he brings it all together. This is the one that marks us as different as Christians. This is what marked him as different from the Athenians. This is where he took that step to say, this is what makes Christianity particular. This is why it is important. This is the good news. The rest is perceivable by our own power and faculties. Jesus Christ crucified and raised so that we might have life and have it abundantly is only knowable through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit working in and through us. We don't get that anywhere else. You can't look around and discern it. It's God working in us, revealing it to us. It's grace that we even see it. And it's grace that we have the ability to point it out to other people. Paul pushes. He says, you're right. You can see God's handiwork in creation. You can see the restored image of God in other people, but all of that is only possible because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Christ who is restoring all of creation, not just us. Christ who makes it possible for us to have the restored image of God in us in the first place. All of it comes down to Jesus. Paul proclaims to the Athenians that he has struggled to reach. And this understanding, this knowledge, this way of being, this depth of conviction that Jesus is the way we know God gives us assurance. Assurance of our faith. Assurance of our salvation. And that assurance should be the conviction that you and I need, that it is vital that we find a way to share our faith that actually makes a connection with those who don't yet know and believe. We have this assurance of the resurrection. We have this assurance that God is putting all things back to right through Jesus Christ because we have this relationship with Jesus, because we know him, and that assurance through this relationship that we have should be the conviction we need to go and tell. Because Jesus is our assurance that God's promise of the resurrection is true. God raised Jesus as the first fruits, as the promise of what is to come, that what we can hope for and experience is to be raised to new life with Christ, to experience the abundant life of Christ now and the eternal life of God when we are raised like Christ. Jesus is our assurance that we are made in the image of God, that that image is restored in us so that other people can see God through us, in us, so that we can see God in others as well. And know that they're good and beautiful and wonderfully made. Jesus is our assurance that the majesty of creation points to a creator. That all that we see in the world that sparks beauty and joy comes from that creator who first looked on what God had made and said it was good. This assurance gives us what we need to go and tell, not because we can feel certain that we will get the greatest of results. Just so you know, Paul's little speech to the Athenians in the Areopagus only got him 2 converts out of all the people gathered, and he was Paul. So, the rate of return might be a little different than what we might want to expect, but he converted 2 people to following in the way of Christ, 2 that might would go on to bring others to know Jesus. 2 was more than he'd done before in Athens. And yet he still preached in Athens. He still went on to preach around the rest of the Roman world, no matter what. Why? Because he was assured of his salvation, because he had this assurance that Christ was raised for his sake, because he had this conviction that all he could do because of Jesus was go out and proclaim the good news. And that's what we've got to have. That's what we have to have right now, because we are going to have to find new ways of being the church. We're going to have to find new methods of communicating the good news. We're going to have to find new ways and new places to show forth God's love and God's mercy and God's grace as the whole world continues to change. Paul shows us that we don't just have to be mad about the ways the world is changing. We don't just have to be mad about the things that we think are wrong out there. And we don't just have to be frozen in place because it all seems too overwhelming. Paul shows us we don't have to be trapped between those 2 extremes. Instead, we can move forward in the assurance of the resurrection. We can move forward in the conviction of our faith. We can move forward and know that we can change our methods. We can change the way we do what we do in order to reach people for Jesus, in order to know Jesus and to make him known to others, something we like to say around here, something we like to do around here. And so that's our assurance day. We have the assurance of the resurrection. We should have the conviction that it's time to go out and tell the world the good news by whatever means necessary, even if it means we have to change some things, do some things differently. We can do it. If Paul could do it, we can do it. Let's pray. Almighty God, you pour grace on us every day. You try to give us opportunities to spread the good news, new ways to show people your love, new ways to tell people about your grace, new ways to invite people into a relationship with you and with your church. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear those opportunities. Help us to have this assurance of the resurrection, a conviction of our faith that leads us to want to tell the good news by the methods and means that will be effective in our age and in our time. We know that we will need your grace, that we will need your wisdom, we will need your guidance more than ever as we enter into this new chapter in the life of the world. Reveal it to us. Show us the path you would have us to take. and give us the courage and boldness to step into it with you. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen. Would you join with me now as we affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
As we prepare our hearts to give back to God out of all that God has so graciously given to us, I just want to remind you that our online giving pages are available on our website. It's gracecolumbia.org. There's giving links on the left-hand side of the page in the navigation tab over there. It says online giving, and also in the navigation bar at the top of the webpage on the right-hand side, it says electronic giving there, and it'll take you to our giving page where you can access the online giving. You can set up an account and choose to give on a recurring basis, or you can give as a guest and give one time. However you'd like to give, we appreciate your gifts to the mission and ministry of Grace United Methodist Church. You can also mail in your check to the church or bring it by if you're out and about and would like to drop it in the mailbox. We'll be checking that and continuing to check it that way. As we keep moving, I just want to celebrate and say thank you to all of those who've given to Epworth Mother's Day offerings so far. Those giving links and opportunity to give to Epworth is still available. So if you'd like to continue or haven't made a gift yet and would like to give, please go ahead and give. And we'll plan on reporting our Epworth Mother's Day offering numbers here in the future so that we'll know how we've done together in supporting Epworth Children's Home, our United Methodist Children's Home here in South Carolina, here in Columbia, and the amazing work that they do on our behalf for the children of our state who find themselves in need the most. And so we praise God for that. We also praise God this morning because our new sanctuary air conditioner has been installed, and we praise God for the work of the trustees and Sam Floyd and all the others who've made it possible to get them in, get them out. So our sanctuary air conditioner is in. It is functioning, which is evidenced by some in the room who have chosen for blankets and choir robes today to keep warm. So it works, and we praise God for that, that we won't have the same kinds of interruptions once we come back to in-person worship as we experienced last summer with our air conditioning troubles. We did experience the price tag that we've been advertising. It's about an $18,000 expense, and we're seeking to be able to pay for that out of our building maintenance fund. And so if you're able to give to the building maintenance fund over and above your gifts to our general operating fund, we encourage you to do so to help us keep that fund at a level where it can pay for our air conditioning expense, but also for other building maintenance-related items that come up throughout the year unexpectedly. If we knew exactly when they were going to happen, it'd be a lot easier, but we don't, so we invite you to give that way. The last thing that I want to celebrate with you this day is, as you prepare your offering and prepare to give, is that we've received the bishop's most recent guidance and recommendation about in-person worship. It came in late on Friday evening through email and out on social media. It's on the conference webpage. If you'd like to look at it, the conference webpage is umcsc.org. You'll be able to see the bishop's statement there. In it, the recommendation is that we continue with no in-person gatherings through June the 10th, which would make the first possible date that we might come back together in person, June the 14th. And so we know that we're going to anticipate being all online for a little while longer. Now, what this recommendation came with this time is a set of guidelines and best practices, a set of other recommendations for how to actually do, how to actually come back to in-person worship. And so we have a wealth of information now, and all of that can also be found on the conference webpage. We have this wealth of information of ways that we can begin to think about coming back to in-person worship in a safe way, but also a way that allows us to come and celebrate in worship and to be able to bring glory and honor to God through our praise, while also continuing to recognize that there are going to be folks who aren't going to feel comfortable coming back to worship or really be able to come back to worship because of being particularly vulnerable to COVID-19, which is not going away anytime soon. And so we're going to begin forming a team to look at an actual return to in-person plan, in-person worship plan for Grace. The church council met last week before the bishop's statement came out to talk about particular issues related to Grace Church with coming back to in-person worship. And one of the things we highlighted was the need for a team to examine all of the resources that are out there to be able to come back. And so those are the items that we're working on right now. If you're on the email list for the church, you'll be receiving an email with this information here in the afternoon, this afternoon. And so if you're not on the email and you'd like to be, again, you can email the church office and we'll add you to our email list so that you can stay up to date with us as we move forward. So that's the update that I have from the bishop's most recent statement. It is a piece to celebrate. It gives us the timeline. It gives us some resources for how we might move forward together. And now let's pray together as we have prepared ourselves to give back to God. God of power and mercy, you have not deserted us. We've been tested, and yet we know we have never been far from your redeeming love. We celebrate your relentless caring, not only with the gifts we offer, but with our voices and testimony. We want the world to see what it means to live in the light of your love and mercy. Help us to guide our lives in your way. In the name of Christ, our rock and redeemer. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Please join with me in singing our hymn, O Zion, Haste. Of peace, tidings of Jesus.
Savior's dying, or of a life he died for them to win. Publish glad tidings, tidings of peace, tidings of Jesus' redemption.
Our mission at Grace is to know Jesus and to make him known to others. We're sent forth in the power of Christ's resurrection, hallelujah, the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the creativity of God, and the assurance of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
God be with you till we meet again.